The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
Asian Avengers, so weak, so fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck?
You want to get high?
You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Asian Not Asian, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Also, if you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot, put it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and write these words. Hey, guys, I'm a virgin. Ha ha. Listen to this podcast. Write those words exactly. Also, if you're an iTunes listener, please leave a review, because we're almost at like
600.
Almost there.
Almost.
But people have not been reviewing recently.
Yeah, man, we need some more reviews.
We need more reviews, dude. So get on that, guys. Get on that, anals. And by anals, we mean Asian, not Asian listener. Not the not butt sex.
We need both.
Let's see what's going on today. Oh yeah, story of the week. So it's been a couple weeks already. But I was in LA for a little bit.
Oh yeah?
I was in LA. What do you mean? Oh yeah, you knew.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just playing along.
And I had a very... I went out there for like a college show, but I had like a very interesting experience over there.
You've been to LA before?
I have, but this is the first time I was like doing real comedy shows.
Okay.
And I also like, you know me going through my identity journey,
okay,
you know, trying to find out more about my people and stuff. So I had a whole thing. So when I got there, first of all, I'm like poor now, so I was trying to save money. And so I took the bus from LAX to Union Station.
Was it completely empty?
No.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a public bus. It was called like Flyaway Shuttle.
Oh,
so
I see.
It's like $8 or whatever.
LAX is a fucking nightmare right now.
Actually, the airport itself didn't look very new. It kind of, I felt like I don't know. You see the airport like in 80s movies. You know? Like
it
it's very 80s.
It's very 70s looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I take it to the Union Station and I'm like, okay, it's a 20-minute walk from here to my Airbnb. I'm going to save money and walk instead of taking an Uber. So I fucking start walking.
You walked in L.A.?
Yeah. I walked in L.A.? What do you mean? People walk in
Nobody
L.A.?
Nobody walks
Nobody
in
walks
L.A.
Nobody walks in L.A.?
Nobody walks.
Well, that makes sense.
Especially because, and is that like, you think it's a straight shot,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden you'll be like on a freeway. And you're just
my God.
Fuck.
Yes, that, but also... I think everything, because on the East Coast and in Ohio, everything is flat. So you're like, oh, 3-minute walk, no big deal.
Yeah.
LA, everything is an incline. So like, you're just fucking like,
oh, you're
trucking
like hustling
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was like terrible. But then it started fucking hailing.
Oh my God.
It was hailing in downtown LA. I was
That's
getting
so
punished
funny.
For trying to be frugal. So like, I was like, whatever, I'm wet. I get to Airbnb. I go do some shows. I'm having a good time. And then I took the public transportation there a lot. So I took the Metrolink or whatever. Okay. So I was doing that. Oh, so many fucking homeless people. It was ridiculous.
For sure.
And then I got home late at night. And again, it was a 20-minute walk from the station to my Airbnb. Again, I was like, I'm going to save money. So I like rented one of those scooters.
Uh-huh.
Like those bird scooters.
Yeah.
And I fell as I was riding it really hard on my hips.
Did you like hit something?
No, it was like the ground was wet.
Oh, I
Honestly,
see.
Honestly, it was so embarrassing because I just like, I scanned it and it was like beep beep. And I literally was on it for like 5 seconds.
Oh, I see.
And
it just got all crazy.
Yeah, and it was right in front of like a parking lot too, like a parking garage. So I couldn't get, I don't know. It was very dangerous.
Yeah.
And it was like, as I was falling, my thought was like, this is the most like on-brand way to die right
now.
If I died on a scooter, like, man, that's Fumi right there, you know. So that happened. But then like, I had this whole introspective thing second half of the trip, you know. I was like doing comedy, I was like writing and stuff, and then I was like, you know what, I was staying near downtown LA, which is near Little Tokyo, which is near the Japanese American Museum.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me just check that out, you know.
Okay.
We've been doing this podcast for a while.
Yeah.
I'm always down to learn.
Sure.
So I go in. And
you went to the museum?
Yeah, I went to the museum.
Oh my God.
I was alone.
That's the worst part of this whole thing so far.
But it was $35.
Yeah.
And I almost wanted to be like, is there a discount for Japanese people?
You gotta pee in this cup first.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm a pure blood.
Have some of this soy, this fermented soybean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, how Japanese are you?
How Japanese are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They make you eat natto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll it's get like, you'll get cut so easily.
I'd gladly say I'm not Japanese. Actually, could I pay more money could to make sure money? I can't come inside? This place sucks.
So I went in and you know, I was like reading about all like the immigration stuff and there was this one thing that was like, you know, I always get emotional when we talk about Asian shit.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
I'm always crying, and I started crying because I was reading this one thing, and it talked about like different kinds of immigration, you know, Japanese immigration to the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, there are like people who moved to Hawaii, people who moved to California before the war, and then at the very end, they're like, but a lot of Japanese entrepreneurs and businessmen moved here in the 80s and 90s and decided to become permanent residents.
Hey,
and I was like, oh, that's me.
And there's a picture of you, and you're like,
like, hey.
And some of them got hurt on a bird scooter.
It's just me.
Bunch of pussies. Yeah. Just think of you falling on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I started crying because I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever gotten a shout out in a museum before.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy, right?
Yeah.
I never thought, like, that's not even something I wanted or, you know.
You don't realize how little the society or whatever talks about you until you go somewhere and you're like, oh, this must be what white people feel all the time because they're learning about their history.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're like, just like, oh yeah, sure, I got to read about gold rush.
Even
or
with like, you know, Japanese American history, I read about the Hawaiian immigration, and I'm like, that sounds so foreign to me.
Yeah, that sounds more abstract.
Right, but then there was like this thing, it was specifically about like businessmen. 90s becoming permanent residents.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
exactly
you showing up, you talking. Yeah,
yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, there were a lot of things in the museum. I only got like two sentences, but it was good.
That's more than nothing.
Yeah, so
that's why you paid $35.
Exactly.
I went to when I was last time I was in Paris. I went to the War Museum and like France being France, they have a huge War Museum.
Yeah,
just to commemorate all the horrible things they've done. But where I was going through the World War One section and. I get to this picture and, you know, during World War One, France like called on all of their colonial forces. Like, so they had, so like all these colonies had to, all these people had to die for these, for this white war.
Oh.
So they sent all these people, right? So like people from
like Africa,
but a whole bunch of people from, at the time they called it, Annam, which is like the Vietnam region, you know, could be Cambodian as well, you know, whatever. Right. And there was a picture of these, Annamese soldiers, right? They could be Vietnamese, what we consider Vietnamese now. And they're like in Western uniforms and they're in Paris and they're standing there. And I swear to fucking God, the picture was a guy. It was me. I was like, you know, in The Shining when the guy, you know, when the guy, Jack Nicholson dies
and he's
in the picture.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. And I'm looking at this picture and he's looking at me and I'm like, holy fucking shit, that is me in this picture. Like,
oh my God.
It's so crazy.
You start crying?
Dude, it was like so weird.
Representation?
And I was like, man, I hope that guy banged some Vietnamese, some Parisian prostitutes.
Yeah.
Or something. Did something. Because he went all the way to Paris and had to fight in the fucking trenches.
Yeah.
But dude, it's crazy to go to, to see like something like that in a museum.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
that's crazy.
I had a great time in LA and, you know, we'll be back there in June.
June.
So be on the lookout for that.
We'll be back there for June doing our live show.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get to the guest. Our guest has been patient. He's been hearing our stupid stories.
Yeah.
And dude, the guest today is, he's a new friend of mine. He's a friend. I don't have many friends, so this is big news. But I met him on a Fung Brothers shoot. I did that wasn't with you.
Right.
He's a content creator / producer. He went to NYU Tisch. Ever heard of it? Any people? He's also a B-boy.
Ah.
And he's also a frat boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cool
frat
B-boy.
Hold on. Shut the fuck up.
We haven't introduced you yet. So really excited to talk to him. Let's get excited. Let's start clapping for the amazing Yosuke Hoshiyama. Oh. Yay. Thanks for coming on the show, dude.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I like that when you walked in, you you mispronounced your own name to Mike.
I did.
Yeah. You noticed that?
I don't know. However you want to pronounce your name is how you pronounce your name. So there's no pronunciation for me.
That's very true, too. So I go by many different names. Ryosuke is actually my... Oh, if you actually call it through Japanese, it's Ryosuke. But, you know, Ryosuke is like the
best English kind of equivalent to it. But even that, you know, white folks usually have a hard time pronouncing it. So Rio Skate just becomes Rio, and Rio becomes just R. I had a lot of nicknames growing up. Like, I was called Whiskey at one point.
Why did you start there?
I was called RuneScape, Ricecake.
RuneScape?
Yeah, just a lot of really cute, interesting names. But, you know, I dig with whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The R-Y pronunciation is difficult. Because even in Street Fighter, they say Ryu.
Yes.
But it's actually Ryu.
Right. For a long time, we said Ryu. That was pretty... Actually, you know what? For a long time, we called him Ryu.
Ryu.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which, I mean, it sounds tight.
It sounds pretty tight.
Okay, so we got Ryu here.
He's gonna show us how to do
Hadouken. Street Fighter mode. Right here.
Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah,
this is cool.
I want to start with how we met, dude.
Sure.
So we met on we did a Funk Bros video together.
Yes, we did.
And it was a miracle that you were there because you saved the shoot. Because Mike, you've done a couple of these videos.
Yes.
You know how it is. They want to talk about history and shit.
It's all crazy. Yeah.
And you know, look, I don't know anything. I'm just going to museums at age 30. I don't know anything, right? So they're asking me all these intense questions about the history of like Japanese curry rice and all this shit, and I don't know how it got there, you know. But luckily Ryosuke here, he was a history major and he worked in media, and so he like knew the history of why Japanese people like to eat curry and shit.
Where did that come from? Because like Vietnamese people also have a curry dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about that because we eat it with like French bread and it's all crazy. And it's very similar.
It's called curry. You guys say curry.
Yeah, we call it. It's called curry.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, where did we get this from? And so anyways, I actually don't know the Vietnamese one, but what is the Japanese one?
I'm pretty sure it's all around the same. I mean, if you think about it, curry originally originated from India, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, British being the British and, you know, being the global superpower they were, trying to fuck up everybody during the good old 1600s, brought whatever they had from one colony to the other. And so they brought curry from, probably traveled that through Vietnam and then all the way to Japan. And so when they brought it to Japan, you know, Japanese people kind of localized that and kind of made it their own kind of thing, you know. So Japanese curry, if you taste it compared to like Thai curry or Indian curry, it doesn't, you know, it's not as like spiceful, it's not as like, you know, it's not as like flavorful, but it's sweet, more sweet. It's more sweet and savory, you know, and that's because Japanese people have that kind of like taste palette, you know. They like that kind of just like subtle like savory element to it.
So you're saying the curry we're eating is like the Brit's version of the curry?
It's like a Japanese Brit version of
it, you know.
It's like their own interpretation of it, you know. It's just like how Japanese people like make a lot of like, you know, they like to Japanize a lot of stuff, you know.
It makes sense. I mean, Vietnamese people, we're doing that, and then we're just all of a sudden we're just like, let's grow some French bread in this motherfucker.
Why the fuck not?
You know?
So when I first met you, I feel like we clicked because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you could be like, this guy fucking sucks. But
dude.
I feel like we connected because we kind of have similar stories in terms of like upbringing, but you did it in a different continent.
That's
right?
True.
So you're like, were you born in Japan?
I was born in Hong Kong.
Were you born in Hong Kong? You grew up in Hong Kong.
I grew up
your
in Hong
entire
Kong,
life,
my whole life
as a Japanese person.
Yes, sir.
Right?
What'd your family do for like?
So for a living, my parents do, you know, your traditional Asian kind of stuff. My dad was, you know, one of those Swiss bank guys.
Oh, you know, traditional Asian Swiss bank. My dad is a mailman, okay? My dad is working class. He worked at 7-Eleven, okay? Swiss bank that. Okay, no, go ahead.
As in like from where I'm from, international context, you know, obviously I come from a very privileged place. I try to be really humble about that.
You did your whole schooling in Hong Kong.
I did my whole schooling in Hong Kong, yes.
Whoa,
sir.
So you spoke English, British English.
I did speak a little bit of Chinese here and there growing up, but then, you know, I think I had to prioritize Japanese, you know, being able to kind of keep that mother tongue of it.
So you spoke Japanese at home?
I spoke Japanese at home. I think, you know, definitely that was kind of the language that I was only allowed to speak with my parents. I think being able to retain that, you know, and growing up as a Japanese kid, you know, kids like us were called third culture kids, you know, kids who are, you know, from one country but born and raised in another, and then having to then relocate our entire lives when we came to college for here, you know, to be able to kind of readapt, you know. And I think growing up, you know, I never really felt like the sense of true identity. Like, you know, Asian Americans, I understand their struggle, you know, because they have this identity of being, oh, I'm Chinese American, you know, there's this community. But like for us, people like me, there's not a lot of Japanese kids who grew up in Hong Kong.
Right, that's right? It's a whole other thing.
Very specific. Did you have other Japanese friends?
There were a few kids growing up, you know, and definitely some kids I met through tutor school and like Saturday school and stuff like that. Yeah. But very little.
Yeah. Can I ask you something?
Go for it.
A little intense. I feel like, I started to sort of classify Japanese people I meet in my life as like woke or not based on how much they kind of know about the history.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, it's not that I don't know like a lot about it, but I know enough, you know, and I feel like you do as well because you grew up in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, is there, it's kind of like a white person living in South Africa. Like, do you get bombarded with like, oh, you fucking Japanese, like you fucking, you know, took over a plate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because you're there. Mm-hmm. And like, if so, how do you deal with that at such a young age?
Yeah, of course. Know? I mean, definitely there were, you know, I think we're lucky in a we live in a generation where that whole war sentiment has kind of like, you know, drifted over the years. But you still have that kind of, you know, especially with China, with Hong Kong becoming more of a pro-China state. You know, you see everything mm-hmm. that's been happening in the last year with the protests and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything, you know, there's been a lot of pro nationalistic sentiment happening in the mainland. And I think definitely you feel some of the effects, you know, especially I've had some encounters where people, you know, Chinese people haven't been happy when I say I'm Japanese. They're like, you know, kind of
yeah.
thing. It's very rare, though. It's very rare. And when it does happen, you just have to brush it off and be like, hey, man, no. You know, you just have to mind your own business. But, you know, definitely what you said about history, you know, there's a lot of things that Japan really messed up in, you know, with the whole, you know, imperialism, you know, it was just a backbone of colonialism, except in the modern day, which happened in Asia. And, you know, Japan's argument is that, oh, we only did what, you know, all these European powers did in like the 1600s and 1700s. But even though what they did, I mean, war is inexcusable in its own way. You know, it's like torture and being able to come in and kind of take a sovereign, take over a sovereign country like that. You know, there's a lot of messed up things that Japan did. And I think for me, I try to come up with a very neutral bias when I study these histories elements. Because if you think about it, Japanese people aren't really told the truth, even to this day, in their education system.
Right.
The government, like, it's not like they don't suppress the information. They just don't teach it.
Right.
Like, if you literally, like, open the Japanese textbook and, like, go to the chapter of World War II, you'll find, like, 3 pages. And that's about it.
Some
and
shit happened. It's crazy.
It's actually, really is exactly. crazy.
But let's go ahead to the 80s.
Yeah. And you're just like,
yo, Walkmans, though?
It goes from the war to
Walkman. It goes from, yeah, samurais and then Walkman.
The rise of porn.
Yeah, that part is tight.
Yeah. Ah, my back is killing me, man.
Hey, Fumi, what is wrong with your back?
Oh, man, I don't know. I have this, like, really shitty mattress from whatever fucking place.
Oh,
and,
my little Japanese friend, don't you know that you need a good mattress in order to make love to the beautiful woman?
I know, my, like, I can't make love in this bed because it's creaky and it's killing my back. Yeah, I can't even do missionary. I lay in the back like I lay on my back like a mummy, and nobody wants that.
Oh man, you are the missionary that is that make a baby Jesus cry.
What's your favorite position, Gino?
Oh, man, I love all sorts of different things, you know, because I've got a really good mattress, one that's really supportive, and I really like it a lot. You know what kind it is called?
What is it called?
Helix Sleep Mattress.
That's right. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you.
Whether you're a side sleeper, hot sleeper, like a plush or foam bed, with Helix, there's no more confusion, no more compromising on an average mattress.
Helix Sleep was even awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 by GQ and Wired Magazine.
Just go to helixsleep.com/Asian, take the 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $135 American dollars off all the mattress orders for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Asian.
That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/Asian for up to $125 off.
Ciao.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fumi has told me mm-hmm. that you went to Tisch.
Yes, sir.
That means nothing to me. But you were in a frat.
Yes,
I was. Which one were you in?
So I was in an Asian fraternity called Pi Delta Psi.
Oh, you were a pineapple.
What the fuck? Is that a pineapple?
Is that different?
I think that might be a different one. Okay. Yeah. But
Anyway, sorry.
That makes sense. No. It's cool though. I mean, all these Asian frats have like these weird like
funny
nicknames. I think we were called a different thing. But I joined an Asian fraternity because, well, first of all, I joined a fraternity thinking that it was, you know, my quintessential American experience, you know, coming from overseas.
Oh, it kind of is. So you watch movies like Old School.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I watched the Animal House growing up, and I was like all these like crazy like white people partying, and I was like, oh, I want that experience, you know, I want to come in here.
Did you guys have, you guys didn't have a house, did you?
Yeah, how does like frat NYU frat work?
How does NYU, I mean, you guys, NYU's color is purple. That's hilarious. Okay. First of all, already lost all your street cred. What football team do you guys have? And then you guys have fraternities. I want to know more about this.
Oh man! So
where did you guys live together?
We all live together. So I think
Where's the house?
So we had apartments. We had a bunch of different apartments, and we still do. I think we would all kind of like pick up and move. So no, there would be moments where we would all live in like Hell's Kitchen area. And we'd find a bunch of apartments, and every time we
you live in an area.
Yeah. And then for a stint, we would do like downtown Brooklyn, and then you know now I think it's like Lower East Side and stuff like that. And so you know I think. Because it's like you can't buy a house in New York City. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's right.
No. Yeah, I was gonna say.
So pretty much we would do just apartment parties and kind of just like being able to switch it around and kind of, you know, make sure we cram as much people as we can without getting noise complaints and everything.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fine balance, you know. But I think, to be honest, I would prefer apartment parties much better. You know, it's easier, clean. Some of the frat parties I went to the state schools, oh man, dude, the floor was so grimy.
Those houses are
exactly
destroyed.
It's just like I just felt like
You didn't like that?
I mean, I like that, but I wouldn't want to live in one of those.
Did you have a nickname?
I did.
What was it?
My pledge name was Rurouni. From the anime.
Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah, Rurouni Kenshin.
I've seen that.
Yes, that's awesome. It is.
I love that.
It's fantastic. It's
with the sword thing?
Yep. With the sword thing,
yeah. He doesn't kill, right?
He doesn't kill.
That's, is that racist? I'm not sure. That's great, though.
Yeah, where did you get that?
That's a secret.
Really?
You
can't tell me?
I can't tell you.
Yeah, but you graduated already, though, right?
I graduated already.
But is this tech still
I'm sworn by some code or whatever.
Can I ask you, why did you... So you had this image as a kid of, okay, what an American university experience is supposed to be like. You were watching Old School, Animal House, I want to be in a frat. You come here. Why specifically an Asian frat? I'm not saying that's bad. I didn't even know Asian frat was an option. Like, I just thought frats were all inclusive, although in the movies, they're all white, usually. But when I first found out there's like a specifically... Asian frat, and I think there's also like a black frat too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know that. You know, they were sort of like divided like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what made you want to kind of go down that path rather than just going down like, I don't know, whatever traditional other NYU frats.
No, of course. I mean, like, I definitely considered it. You know, walking around, there's this thing called Meet the Greeks where you just go walk around and you see all these groups. And you're right. No, there's a lot of multicultural organizations that we see. You have the black fraternities, you have Latino ones, you even have like LGBT gay ones. You know, that are like very centric in their own community. I think for me, the first people I met were these Asian folks, and I think they were just like people I resonated with. You know, I didn't go with the intention of being, oh, I want to be a frat bro. You know, I want to be able to experience this. No, I wasn't expecting, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it with people I respect and people I can, you know, who intrigue me. And I think definitely, you know, I think that came from the whole thing about being an Asian kid growing up in Asia, coming to here and meeting all these Asian kids who grew up in America. And I was like, wow, I relate to you on so many levels, but I also don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like there's just this bonding where I feel like there's something there. And I think that's good, something awesome. And I have no regrets. And I think being able to meet all these interesting characters, you know, like some of my friends are like Chinese Americans born in Brooklyn, you know, or like, you know, these Korean kids growing up in Wisconsin. You know, you have all these really weird Asians who grew up all around America, and I think hearing their stories and understanding them more, and I think giving that opportunity and that gateway, and I think, like, well, I mean, like, I could have done the traditional, like, no white fraternity and everything, but at the end of the day, it's just like who you bond with and who you jive with, right?
You have such PR answers to everything. Okay, we're gonna get what was your, what was, hit me.
We gotta get the raw stuff.
It's Friday. Right. I assume that as a college student, you end classes at 12, but hey, guess what? You also didn't go to class on Friday.
Trick question.
It's 4. You're getting some text messages on your Razer phone. I don't know what year. You're getting a text, and it's like, bro, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You know, I got a pony keg.
A pony keg?
I don't know. What tell me? What yeah. is going on?
Yeah, what to
hit me on the Friday?
How do you guys
what's happening on the
what's
Friday?
Happening on Fridays, dude.
Oh man,
dude, give me the raw answer. Don't give me the nice PR. I don't want to hear about the cultural things.
I want to hear mistakes.
I had the honor of rushing for this pass. Fuck that, dude.
That you woke up in jail. Okay, I had the honor of waking up in jail, and I discovered a lot about me and my brothers when we were being frisked by the police.
Oh lord. Oh man. So there was one weekend where we went. It was I think a week after we got initiated. We decided to go to Rutgers. We went to Rutgers a lot. I think definitely.
Really?
Yeah. We went to Rutgers a lot. Like, you know, all these other state schools, because I think that is
they
your typical like college
yeah,
experience.
They have the big frat houses.
They have like the DJ in the
big
basement.
School,
exactly.
Tons of
undergrad. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes when we're lucky, we'll go to the state schools. And then one weekend, we joined our fellow brothers, as we call it, who just got initiated at Rutgers too. So we all met together. It was a lovely, lovely time. And then so...
Are you sure you're in a frat?
You are so British. It is so... we all met up, and it was quite a lovely time.
We were tea
and crumpets, and then we all did Molly for 4 hours. No, okay, good. So, because then you're at Rutgers, you're having a lovely time. There's horses and shit.
So there's this culture in Asian Greek life called scrolling, and what it is that if you got initiated before somebody else, they can make you drink essentially. So because we just recently got initiated, pretty much everybody around us was making us drink nonstop. So it was me. I had a class of 12 brothers. Four of us came with me to Rutgers, and it literally by like midday we were just like drinking this thing called Jungle Juice.
Oh no!
Which is this nasty ass mix of like Kool-Aid and fruit punch and vodka. And
oh,
this,
we know.
Like,
we know Jungle Juice.
Exactly. We know. Okay, good, good, good.
I'm from Ohio. Like, we know that.
But yeah.
And then, so we were just there, and then this whole time we were just getting scrolled, and then I have this little friend called Derek. He's a short ass Asian kid, and literally he just like he couldn't take it anymore. He was just I don't know why I joined this fraternity. I see him just running into the guard in the back, and he starts climbing the fence of the fraternity house, trying to climb across.
Trying to escape.
He's like, I can't drink anymore.
He's already in the
fraternity, but they were making him drink. They were making him scroll all night, so he can't do it.
And he snapped.
That's more like it.
Wait, one more frat question before we move on to something else. Okay, so when I was at NYU, I saw these girls. I forgot about that. I wrote this down. I went to a frat like. Welcoming party,
okay.
like almost like an introduction party where they're trying to get Asian kids to rush for these events. So I was like 18. I just moved here. My roommate was Chinese, so I was hanging out with a bunch of Asian kids for the first time in my life. And he was like, "I'm gonna go to this event. It's at Jibon on St.
Yes.
Mark's in the basement." They gave us beer. We were all underage. I don't know how it happened, but they had us. They had the guys, and they had like the women. Running for the Asian female sorority.
Yes.
And they like made us do like these speed dating things.
Huh.
Yeah. So I met a bunch of girls. And actually one of the girls there, we're still friends today. We did both obviously didn't rush. She's like an eye doctor now or whatever. But we're like, yo, fuck this. We like Arcade Fire. Fuck this shit.
Arcade Fire.
Most Asian people didn't know what that was. But these girls, they were fucking hot, bro. And I was just wondering if you've hooked up with these women and what that is like. Go.
Are you talking about like sorority girls or just like Asian girls in general?
Asian sorority girls, dude. What are they like, bro?
Asian sorority girls. To be honest, I've never hooked up with an Asian sorority girl.
I don't believe you at all.
No,
I can see that.
I
can see that.
I think that's because I draw my boundaries. You know,
No, I'm serious. I feel that there was like a thing where it was like because a lot of times you have a little sister and another one, and then like their friends are like off limits.
Yep.
You know, you can't like. You know, also, like, you guys are really close to each other, and, like, you're supposed to, like, mentor the other person. So there's, like, I remember one time I was, you know, I didn't rush or anything. I found out there were dues, and I was like, no, fuck that. So I didn't do any of those things. But
yes.
I remember one time this guy called me. It was, like, my friend was in a sorority, and then so her sister's older brother, the frat bro, called me and offered me money. For my final paper, he's like, I'll give you $1,000.
Wow.
I was like, there's no fucking way that I'm going to do this. Because if I had failed that class, I would have been kicked out of school.
Wait, why would you have failed? Oh, because they...
Because that was the final paper. It was like worth like 40% of your grade.
Jesus. Oh,
and so the sorority girl hadn't done the work.
Oh.
He wanted to buy it for her. so that
she would pass.
So that she would pass,
but then you'd have to write a new one.
I'd have to write a new one, or just take an F. And it was like 2 days before the class.
Yeah.
And I was like, on the one hand, I'm disgusted by this behavior. On the other hand, wow, man, you know, like that's really coming.
Well, why you though? Because you were on the edge of passing and failing. Could have asked.
I don't know why they. I don't know. Maybe they thought I needed the money, and I was like, there's no way.
It was a phone call.
Yeah, they called me, and the guy was like, bro, duh, bro. And he kept going up higher and higher.
Bro,
and
I was like, oh, really?
And there was no amount of money. Because, like, if I had failed that class, I would have failed out of school.
Yeah.
I don't care, like, how much money. I need enough money so I can hide from my mom. I would need to change my identity. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I understand that there's, like, a whole system here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who did you bang? No, okay.
Oh, wow.
Finally got broke
through.
A gentleman never tells, guys.
Damn it. This guy's good.
The British guy.
British.
Okay, I want to talk about this before we go into our current event section.
Sure.
We're going to tone it down from the frat energy. Frat energy was fun. When we did the Funk Brothers video together, mm-hmm. You had revealed this like really intimate, like crazy kind of family secret of yours on camera. I was a little sensitive, but I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Of course. Yeah. No worries. So growing up, like I said, I was Japanese growing up in Hong Kong, and you know, my parents, you know, they didn't have the greatest marriage ever. So, you know, growing up, I grew up in a household, they were fighting a lot and everything. And so they got divorced when I was, what, maybe 16 or something.
Oh, shit.
And then so, you know, I grew up a lot, you know, I loved them both, but you know, I grew up closer to my mom. And every time we were watching TV, you know, my mom would always make these comments about, like, especially like if they're like talking in the news about Korean people or like Korean subjects or even whatever. They'd be, oh, man, don't listen to that like Korean person, or like, oh, no, you can't really trust them. And then that's some passing comments that, you know, like, you know, your parents would say, you know, like if a Chinese person was like shit talking someone, like,
right.
And then so, you know, one time I think it was like Christmas Day dinner like 2 years ago, and I was in dinner with my mom, and we were just waiting for the food, and then I was just like sitting there, and I was like trying to kill time. I was like, oh, so mom, just a real question, just like, why do you hate Korean so much?
Yeah.
And because she's like, oh, because they steal, they cheat, they lie.
Yeah.
I'm like, mom, that's a very stereotypical answer. Like, you can't really say that, you know, like you can say that about anybody. And then we got into this huge argument because she got really triggered. I got really triggered. We're supposed to have this lovely, lovely Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And
sure.
we were like, you know, I was waiting for my roast chicken to come and everything.
You're trying to keep it lovely.
This is very, very Japanese and very American.
Exactly. Just fight on.
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah.
And then like literally like 5-10 minutes in the conversation, you know, my mom got super heated, and she was like, you know what, if you love Korean so much, why don't you marry someone like your dad?
Oh shit.
And I sat there for a second, and I was like, what do you mean, like marry like another Japanese girl? She's like, no dude, why don't you marry a Korean chick like your dad? And I was like, my dad's Korean?
Yeah.
What? And I find out this whole history that like my dad is actually Korean. He's like three generations Korean, so his like great, like his great grandfather came over to Japan, and they just like married other Korean people in Japan for the last like 100 years.
So what is that? What's the term for it?
Is he part of like the Zainichi?
Zainichi, yeah, he's a Zainichi community. And but like the thing is, the weird thing is, baffling thing is, like, growing up, he never said a word about it. I knew somewhere I was a little Korean. No, I'm on one of my parents' side. But he's like, oh, you should be proud to be Japanese. You should be the
really.
Yeah. It's like I was just brainwashed in thinking that like, you know, oh, like I had no idea. And no, being able to kind of like, it took me a second to kind of come to terms with them. Like, oh, I'm actually half Korean. But if you think about it, at the end of the day, you know, it's like you have to understand, he's like, you know, like Asian Americans, right?
Yeah.
Even though they're ethnically Asian, they grew up here. The only culture they know is like an American.
The one. Yeah,
exactly.
Culture.
And so looking at that perspective and seeing my dad, and I was like, oh, I can kind of understand why, you know, Japan's a country that gave him opportunities and kind of
right,
like
he just kind of internalized.
Exactly. And that. Exactly. So I think come to terms with that, it's just like, you know, I was like, oh, I guess I understand. I'm just surprised it took me like 23 years for me to figure out I was actually half Korean.
Well,
you know,
we had Min Jin Lin on here, and she wrote this amazing book, Pachinko, which is about basically the history of your father. You know, that whole community.
And funny enough, one of the characters becomes a banker.
Yes, and he hides it.
He hides it.
Right. So like, I mean, I'm sure you know this, but it's very common for people to hide that.
Yes, of course.
Especially if they live in Japan.
Of course.
I have. I had a couple friends who like I have white friends who like studied abroad in Japan, and they said a lot of them would tell me they would like become friends with like and make friends at their university, and at some point like one of them would just be like, they'll get drunk and they'll be like, dude, I have a secret to tell you, like I'm actually Korean. And they'll be like, and the white guy's like, who the fuck cares? But
you know
like
what?
But for him it was like, I guess like they didn't like American people.
Yeah, they don't understand
like right. you know, because it's like to him it's like someone coming up to him being like, oh, I'm actually Irish or whatever.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean anything to him.
It right? Are there even any Japanese people in Japan? I feel everyone's curious. Is that what's going on? So did you talk to your dad about it?
No, I haven't talked to him about
it. Dude! Well, guess what? Guess who's behind this door?
So, and you were saying that your last name is made up.
It is made up.
You know it's made up for sure.
Oh, now I know it's made up.
Well, how do you know?
It's because Hoshiyama
Star Mountain
means Star Mountain. And literally, if you ask any Japanese person, they'll know it's like a made up name. It's a very uncommon name. It's a very uncommon name, and it's like the kind of name where you know that's like it's someone who's ethnically Korean who
it does sound like a name like I would make up for a Japanese.
A
you know
Star
what I'm
Mountain?
Saying? Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, oh, I gotta write this Japanese character. His name is Ryu Kenamura-chan. Totally got it.
Nailed it.
You know, or like, you know, like any of the Harry Potter characters when they're Asian, like Cho Chang, nailed it. No, okay, interesting.
Are you gonna talk to your dad about it?
I should.
Are you guys not close?
No, we are close. I just haven't had the right moment. And to be honest, it's just like at this point, it's like what's
sort
the
of
point?
Like what can you do?
Like,
about
what can
it?
I do?
I mean,
about
did
it,
you know? Like when you first? I'm just trying to understand, like. If somebody told me I was like half Chinese or something, I would just have like identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because just you built this whole thing on this one pillar, you know? Like, it's like, what if you found out you weren't even Vietnamese? Mm. Right? Like, it would really, I think it would like really undermine your life a little. I mean, I don't know. That's just what I would assume. Like, did you, and you were so young, like, but it seems like you're kind of, you're fine with it, which is like fine. But did you have, like, did you initially like kind of break down or like do a lot of research or like, were you freaking out?
Well, I mean, first of all, I realized why I started liking kimchi so much recently, too.
What?
Like, no, I was like, well, I had this, like unconscious love for Korean food, which, you know, I started to crave. And after that, every weekend I was hitting up K-Town. I was like, I need to be part of my ethnic culture, you know? But to be honest, like, as much of a shock it is, you know, my background is already kind of a mess, right?
Oh,
like a Japanese kid who went to British school in Hong Kong, come to New York. It's just like adding
just
a little...
Just add another one.
It's just like, what is the point? You know,
actually,
the
you're
day,
Jamaican.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised, right?
Do you want to go and check out Korean shit? You know, like
I mean,
more?
Yeah, no. But to be honest, you know, like you said, a lot of people who are just like who find out they're like half Irish, they're like, oh, you know, I'm Irish. And it's like for me, it's like I don't represent, like I don't kind of associate myself with that Korean culture. Like, even though I'm ethnically there, it's like Japanese is still my culture, and I will respect Korean people and Korean culture and for what it is. You know, it's just I could never fake the claim to be it my own. You know, it's part of my ethnic identity. But my personal identity is, you know, who I am right now.
Oh, but I feel like you can claim it if you want to.
If I want to, but then I need to be able to have the right to. You know, there's a difference between saying, oh, I'm Korean, being able to, you know, if there's one thing, if I can understand the language, know the culture a bit, you know, being able to say I can represent myself, you know, as a Korean person, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about that? Is that true?
I think you can if you're interested in it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had on here Ed Popkopski. He is a comedian and he's adopted. So he was born in Korea, and he grew up, like, you know, with a white family. His name's fucking Popkopski, you know. So I feel over time he's become more interested in that. It's almost, I guess it's like you can, but I see what you're kind of saying, because, like, the home country might see you differently, you know. Obviously, you feel kind of like a little alienated from Japan and stuff like that, but, like, there is the... You know, you kind of have some claim to it just from... being born and from the fact that, like, you know, you're there's like a negative to it, which means there must be a positive, because, like, you know, there's this whole thing with your mom, right? And your mom has a thing, and then your dad had to go through it, and his family had to go through something. So I feel like there is a like an experience there if you were interested in doing it. I sound like I'm like selling you on a trip.
No,
but
what about your grandparents? You talked to them about it? On your dad's side,
on my dad's side. So all I knew was I never met my granddad. He died when he was mad young, like when he was like 20 or something. But my grandma, God bless her soul, she's a sweetheart. You know, she passed away when I was like 7 or 8. But you know, she was literally my angel in my life. And like, no, I knew she was Korean somehow. You know, and
you knew?
I knew, but like, it's like I didn't know to what extent, because I was also really young. You know. And
you always knew you had some Korean blood.
I just didn't know. Like, my entire dad's side was all Korean.
Oh,
and so that kind of just like took me by surprise as well, you know, because there's a whole thing about like, even my mom doesn't like me going around telling people I'm Korean.
You know, because, you know, so send her the link. We'll send her the link to this episode.
Send this to my mom, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
hey Fumi, you a big cologne guy? You like a big smells guy?
I'm not, but it's because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I haven't. I remember when I was in elementary school, this girl I liked got me cologne.
Really?
For Valentine's Day.
I can't imagine that anyone would like you. So, I smell like butt. So I gotta, you know, my deodorant has to be real good.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm pretty excited about this new thing we've been doing.
Yes.
Which is Hawthorne. Hawthorne.co.
What is Hawthorne? Hawthorne is like smelling good 101 package, right? Guys, straight guys, let's face it, we smell like butt.
We smell like butts.
And we suck.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing. We're really dumb when it comes to self-care, skincare, stuff like that. Hawthorne, you just go online, you take a little survey, and they send you all the products that you need. And we got a box, actually.
Yeah,
and what's crazy is like my package is different from your package because we probably answer the survey differently.
Right, exactly. Right? It's all personalized and stuff like that. So I think it's a pretty cool thing. People should check it out.
Yeah, man.
Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E, and use our promo code, which is not Asian, to get 10% off your first purchase.
That's right. That's Hawthorne, Hawthorne.co, not com, but co, and use our code not Asian to get 10% off your purchase. Hawthorne.co. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment. It's Das Race
News.
Okay, do you want to do this first one?
I do.
Okay.
And I do want to kind of actually change it because I was going to talk about this at the top. But do you guys have any coronavirus stories yet? You know?
My accountant didn't shake my hand. But it wasn't because I'm Asian. He just wasn't shaking my hand.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't doing it.
Like in general?
Well, he gave me a pound. He's like, I swear it's because you're not Asian.
I feel now everybody's doing that. Everybody's like pounding and elbowing
yeah.
or like kicking. And I had a Corona store. I assume that this is what was happening. So I was commuting home, mm-hmm. and it's like a packed train. It's like the M train. It's packed. And I sit down, and there's this lady next to me. And in the train, which is packed, there's like this guy. He's like super duper hammered. And you can tell he's like... Like, you know, I don't know if he was a homeless person or whatever, but he was very drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another guy, and he's also very drunk. I didn't see him at the time because it was so packed. But I saw what happened is he leans over and he just vomits. Just vomits like
wow.
a massive amount of like what looked like mango slushy on the ground. It just looked like it was like almost amazing how consistently orange and pureed it was.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a pretty
it's
cool.
It's art now.
So he just throws up on the ground and he gets up and walks out because you know
oh,
what?
God.
Why the fuck not? He was and like everyone in New York was like, oh, and like we got make the little like radius,
the radius
right around
oh,
it.
My God.
You know, some people are like okay with it and they kind of sit. Nobody sits right next to it, but somebody you know maybe a little close to it.
Yeah.
But I'm standing there. And I have like a tickle in my throat and I'm just like, oh shit, I need a cough, but I'm Asian. And so this is a problem now. And I'm like, okay, I'm like trying to calm down. You know, I'm pretty good at not choking. So like I'm using my jujitsu. I'm just like, think about something else.
Yeah.
Just like, it'll be okay. Control your gag reflex. And I was like, this is not going to work. I have to really have to cough. And so I'm like coughing and I'm coughing into my elbow.
Are you coughing a lot or is it just like a...
a lot. A lot.
Okay. Oh,
no. For like, you know, I don't know, like 20 seconds of sustained coughing.
That's
know?
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, you know, there was like something.
Maybe you have it.
But then I stopped immediately right after. The coronavirus only lasts 20 seconds. Is that what you're telling me?
It's a temporary.
I have
temporary
the coronavirus,
I think
but
it's
only
gone
for
now.
20 seconds.
Yeah, now you got rid of it, though.
So, no, it definitely wasn't the mango sloshy that was on the ground that was disgusting me. No, that was totally fine.
No, it's not.
No, it's the coronavirus, buddy. So I was like, but then the lady next to me, you know, she gets up and she stands over the other side. And I was like, well, that's just how it is. And like,
yeah,
I was just like, you know, the whole thing about this packed train, the vomit on the ground, the coughing. I feel now like I have to be like super healthy looking all the time. Like as soon as I get on a train, I just have to announce to everybody like, no, I'm fine. I'm just start doing pull-ups.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
push-ups.
Yeah.
And
I'm
just
healthy.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, I have to be healthy all the time. And it's like.
To prove,
you know, and we were talking before the show mm-hmm. started was like, you know, is there kind of like some anti-Asian sentiment happening, floating around because of all these things? I do think so, because I can tell that everyone is thinking about it on the train all the time. There's people wearing masks. There's people like not touching things. Everyone, you can just kind of like feel it everywhere because everybody, it's all in everyone's minds. Mm. And I feel that with that wrapped up in that is, even if you know that it's like not logical to be that an Asian person has it, but as soon as you see Asian person, I also noticed that a lot of Asian people seem to be wearing masks, and I'm like, God damn it.
It's not helping the cause.
Yeah, come on, brother. You know, So I don't know. Has anything like that happened to you?
Well, there was that article recently that was talking about, like, you know, we have 22 confirmed cases in New York, and it showed a picture of an Asian guy in flesh.
Oh, yeah, even though the
person wasn't even Asian.
No, it's a Jewish person.
Yeah, so it's like all that kind of like feeds into it. But yeah, I mean, they've meant mainly like jokes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a lot of like, haha, you got the corona
kind of thing.
No, I haven't had anything. But you're right. Like, I am feeling it because I did have to cough on the train the other day.
See?
And I held it in.
Yeah.
I just held it in. I've never done that before.
You got to hold it in.
I've held in like burps, but not.
Not coughs.
Coughs?
Yeah.
Who fucking does that?
Yeah. I got to hold my jizz in, you know?
Yeah.
Can't come.
You can't. What is that called?
Edging?
No. The muscle.
Oh, the yes. I
not
fracking.
Not fracking. What is it?
Fracking.
when you hold the muscle to hold,
like the
hold
Kegel
back the cup.
Thing.
Kegel.
Yeah.
Kegel, yes. But for coughing.
For coughing.
Yeah.
Have you been noticing anything like that?
No, I haven't really been paying attention. I mean, to be honest, I'm just minding my own business. I think my roommate recently bought like $100 worth of Amazon supplies. She's like,
oh, really?
She's
oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, we need to buy like wipes. We need to buy like toilet paper. Yo, toilet paper is a big problem back in Hong Kong.
Really?
My mom's just saying like literally there were moments or weeks where like entire supermarkets were just bought out. Because people were just rushing to the store. They're just buying up all these supplies because they're afraid that like, you know, they're not going to be able to buy shit. And so now like, in Hong Kong, everyone's bugging out. Like, you have to wear a mask. My mom said you have to wear a mask when you go out. If you don't, then you get, like, called out on. Like, you know.
You get called out on?
Yeah, you get called out on. Like, you get called out if you don't wear a mask in public, you know. And it's just, like, people are working from home. People have been working home for weeks now. And
I think for the first time ever, Japanese people are working from home.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Like, it's just, like, they've never done it before. And it's just, like, creating this whole, like, thing because people, like, don't know how to do it. And
they have to talk to their kids.
Yeah. Just like,
oh my God, I have a wife. I got a wife. It's crazy. There's this somewhat. This is not a Asian coronavirus thing, but it is an Asian sort of, you know, story with tension. And I guess what happened. This is in like the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah. Bayview. Is that a good neighborhood?
No.
Okay.
And it is in this San Francisco Bay Area, and this this Asian guy was attacked. He was like collecting all of his, I think he was like collecting recycling.
Yeah.
And he was attacked in this predominantly African American neighborhood. And they eventually like arrest some of the people because, of course, like, you know, there was a fucking video of it. And so they could see what was happening. And what happened is the DA decided to drop the charges against two of the suspects in the attack. But it's because the Asian man has decided to try to do what is called a restorative justice approach. So the summary here is San Francisco District Attorney Chisa Bowden is withdrawing charges against one of two suspects arrested in connection to a shocking viral video that shows an Asian man being robbed. It's a very sad video.
It's disgusting.
And like, you know, it's bad. Dwayne Grayson was arrested last week in connection to the attack. His charges have been dropped in favor of restorative justice approach.
So I didn't even know what restorative justice approach was. I had to Wikipedia it.
Yeah.
Did you know what it was? I'd never heard of it.
I know what it is. Yeah.
So it's like, it's basically a complicated word for like, let's talk it out.
Yeah.
Like they're going to get together and like, just talk.
Like be diplomatic about it.
Yeah, that's what the Asian guy wanted, I guess.
Yeah, the goal is to share experiences of what happened, to discuss who was harmed by the crime and how, and to create a consensus.
Yeah.
I think this is interesting. I mean, you know, we see a lot, like here in New York, there's like tons of, older, usually Chinese, but not always, like older Asian people walking around, and they're like collecting all the cans and shit, and like that's a big source of income, and they're doing, they're like a whole underclass of people.
Yeah.
They're like, they're all over the city.
Yeah.
And in Brooklyn and as such too, and they're all like, you know, moving their shit around. So, you know, it's pretty crazy, and then there's like there's a definite race element to it. You know, as soon as you, you know, when this went viral on all the terrible channels like Twitter. So, like, you know, you see all the comments on there, you know, like, black people and Asian people and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, especially with the coronavirus kind of floating around as well, yeah, that's sort of attached as well to it. Yeah, I don't know. What do we think about it, man?
Well, I think, like, this combined with a couple other videos that's been going around which are related to coronavirus. I saw a video of like this black guy spraying Febreze on an Asian guy on the subway.
Oh, yeah.
I think it actually was in New York. And I don't know. I just think that when you post these things online, Twitter does its thing. And I just don't know if it's like the best. It's not a good representation of.
It's a really easy
way for to pit two like races against each other because I saw in the comments they're like, hey, let's face it, like a lot of you know, crime against Asian people are done by black people. Like the people are saying,
right,
I don't know, maybe the stats. I have no idea. I don't know the stats, but if you look closely at both of these videos, the one I'm talking about and this one we're discussing, these black men are, yes, they're black, but if you look closely, there's something wrong with them. Okay, they're crazy first, then they're black, right? So, am I gonna let these videos represent the entire black community, like based on one crazy person on the subway? You know he's crazy because he's got like trash bags and shit on the subway, right?
He's one
of those people. So, I think. Yes, it happened, but I'm always like I'm very, very wary when I watch these videos because I think it's very easy to get caught up in like victim mode.
Yeah, I definitely think whenever you see something, especially now, there's the event, there's the thing that happens, and then there's the viral reaction.
Yeah.
And the viral reaction is like not informed. It's only reacting to the. It's really reacting to the video. It's not
the people
actually,
involved in the video.
Yeah, it's not even the people. It's actually just reacting to the video.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And that is where you get into this whole thing where you can get like, oh, it's because of this Asian thing or this black thing.
Yeah,
I'm not even saying there isn't some discourse that needs to happen because I do think that a lot of times Asian people can be they're a little bit more hesitant to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a perception I think that they can be victimized. And especially I think if you're an immigrant, you don't know how to like do stuff with the police or like get your word out there and all these things. They're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I do think at the same time, it's like you don't want to get into the I'm angry. This is all because of this. You know.
Yeah,
that's what the man wants you to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I don't know, man. What do you think, bro?
I mean, I think, and no, something interesting I witnessed being here my 7-8 years here in the U.S. that. You know, coming from Asia, right? We don't have the problem of Asians being racist Asians because everybody's Asian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think here, you know, you have a history of, you know, Asian American immigrants and Chinese Americans who came in the 80s having to experience that without no voice to represent themselves, you know? Mm. And I think we now live in an interesting time where it's like you can't go around and calling people that because you get video recorded and you get, you know, like called out online. Mm-hmm. And I think definitely, you know, it's good that we have that voice. You know, social media allows to give you that voice to kind of be able to fight against, you know, xenophobia and kind of be able to fight against, you know, these anti-Asian, attacks, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like every case is different, like you guys mentioned. And I think you have to really understand that a lot of it comes from just lack of understanding or information. You have to realize that most average American doesn't know much about your average Asian American folk,
true.
Being able to have that, for example, if I encounter someone which I have no idea who they're about, who their background is from, I would kind of be a little skeptical, you know. I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe this guy is just like someone, you know, I shouldn't be around with. And I think you just have to understand their mindset. And I think the best, you know, I think, and you know, the whole diplomatic thing earlier with that conversation, I think that's a good way to progress. I think the best way to really get people to understand and to be able to share information is to kind of connect with them on some sort of real level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you see a lot of that happening with the whole like Trump election and everything too back in the day. It's just like there's just this lack of understanding between these various cultures. And I think that's where this whole, you know, me being in America, I think you've realized that I've seen this country becoming more and more kind of, you know, very nationalistic leading, you know. And I think that's because that there's just this lack of bridge between different cultures. And there's these videos out there that are just like out there for one community against another community. That's definitely not a way to really tackle this. I think the best way to do it, and especially with a pandemic like the coronavirus, which actually has real life consequences, you know, for us to kind of work together to find a good solution to be able to create dialogue, converse, and be able to kind of come up with a bridge of understanding. You know,
what a well balanced answer. I was hoping that maybe you would say something that would make us go viral, but no. Good answer.
It's pretty zen that guy was like, because he was crying in that video.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
And then he's like, to let's just talk it out.
I think that's pretty. I mean, I do think that's sweet. I hope something good really happens out of that.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like, I mean, even when I was watching that video, I feel I know a lot about what's happening and all the sort of the tensions, and I'm not excusing one group of people or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, you watch that video and that's what I was saying, you know, like people react to the video. The video is like very upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, you watch that and you're just like, you know, but you gotta like kind of take a step back. Realize like the larger context.
Yeah.
Hold people accountable, sure. Yeah. You know, but like, you know, there's a lot
just
going on.
And that's why Twitter sucks, because it's hard to do that when you're just doing like,
I hate that.
I know.
I retweet.
Okay, we got the second story here.
I do. We've been talking about woke culture.
Oh yes, yes.
Oh
yes,
man,
yes.
This is a good one. So in this one, I'll read it. This is from The Hill. Trump store selling quote unquote woke merchandise as part of outreach to Black voters. So they got things like woke hats.
Yes.
And Black Voices for Trump. I think it's Black Voice. It's just one. It's only that one guy.
One guy.
T-shirts.
Colin Powell.
T-shirts from his campaign store as team works to expand its outreach to Black voters. I like Colin Powell. I like that guy. I see. So, you know, Trump got, you know, you did the research here. Trump got 8% of the Black vote in 2016, according to exit polls. I think I got more.
Is that a lot?
I think I got
just
more.
Just from being you.
No, he got, that means 92% no. So, like,
yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know.
Why does he even want to reach out to them if he can't get them? Is it just for looks? Just to be like.
No, he needs to have broad support. Some. Because I think that I don't know, but I think that there's a bunch of people who voted for him who had traditionally voted Democrat, and there's a lot of swing voters.
Yeah.
And those people are not safely Trump. They're not like. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be like, for sure, Trump. You know?
Right, right.
There's
right.
Trump supporters who are like, they're just Trump fans.
But they might be a minority. Like, in the media, they're everywhere. But are you saying that Trump supporters, like, maybe they don't make us...
No, the Trump supporter, it's like the Bernie bro. Or, like, you know, people who just vote.
It's kind of like an anomaly. Like, it exists, but it's not as big as you think.
But you can't win the election just on that,
just on
right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah,
need
yeah.
to win you need to win all these broad states, like Pennsylvania, like a lot of the states in the South.
Yeah.
Those are all up for grabs still.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, one way to do it is to maybe get two Black people to vote for you.
Making these
rather
hats.
Than one.
Yeah.
You know? So I think... But what's funny is that they use the word woke. And I think that's kind of a... points to like a problem, in the sense that, like, you know, I've done some comedy shows now where they say like something, you know, it's like it's woke this. And I don't know what woke means anymore. I feel that sometimes it's like a prerogative or pejorative, excuse me, pejorative. Yeah. I don't think of myself as woke. I've read some history books.
Yeah.
And I try to be like balanced on a lot of things, and I do see a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes people just throw the word woke around.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's like, exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, you know, I have the word woke on my t-shirt, doesn't make you woke.
Right, I think woke used to be like a state of mind, now it's become a marketing term.
Oh, for sure.
It's like you go to Trader Joe's, you see an organic sticker, right? It's like that, it's become that. It's just become like, you just put it on there and be like, okay, like, also like, I'm just trying to imagine a Trump supporter selling one of these hats to a Black person without being racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, what's going on? I know you. I know you people like t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a woke hat and some fried chicken.
It's like, some fried chicken.
Yeah, it's like everything is problematic.
It's woke chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know, you're a resident young person.
Yeah.
Slash frat person. Mm-hmm. Slash international British guy.
Yeah.
You know, what do you take? What's your take on woke?
Yeah, and give us your non-PR answer, please.
My non-PR person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, I mean, I think it's something that kind of represents, you know, certain communities. And I think woke, I quintessentially, you know, connect that to the African-American community. I think that's something that they can own, they can kind of be able to represent as part of their identity. But I think you're right, in terms of the discourse, I think, you know, people have been interpreting that. I think it's like kind of... you know, it's like how, you know, for a long time, you know, Hollywood has kind of taken Asian American cultures and kind of, you know, reinterpreted in their own way for their own agenda,
yeah, sure.
Right? And I think the same thing happening here with like being able with these big, you know, political establishment kind of being able to take one word that has a lot of cultural significance of it and a lot of very, like, you know, rich, you know, historical significance and kind of just using it for its own agenda, you know?
Yeah, this is like the Chi Pao dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Co-opting it.
Using
it for your own benefit without really understanding why, you know, without being able to pay its proper homage, you know?
Yeah. Every time you see, like, a Trump speech, they always put, like, black and Asian people behind him.
Yeah.
To show the world, look at all these people. Yeah, always. Yeah. It's always the same Vietnamese mom.
Oh my god!
Every time.
I'm always like, Mom, what are you doing there? Mom.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course,
this was super awesome.
What do you got? What do you got going on tonight, bro?
Yeah, what are you doing tonight?
Yeah,
dude.
You're a good-looking, cool guy.
I might hit up Rutgers again. You know,
how would you guys get there? Would you guys take a bus?
We would take a train. We would take a train there, and then we would just like take a bus and we would walk. So it would be this whole 2-hour trek, and it's telling you it would not be lovely when you're hungover. Come back into the city.
Wow,
that was the worst experiences of my life.
I wonder what happened to that guy who climbed over the fence.
I'm pretty sure he's somewhere.
Some say he's still running.
He's still running.
He's just triggered every time he sees an Asian bro. Where can our listeners find you, man? You got a website? You got social media?
I do. You can find me on Instagram at hoshiyama.r. I have some content on there. Check it out.
Hell yeah. Look at
that fake Japanese name.
Exactly. The Star Mountain, man.
I love Star Mountain.
It's a sweet ass name.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool. My name means safety zone, by the way.
Oh,
Does it really?
Well, see, I have this whole theory. I have this whole theory that my dad might be not Japanese because his family is so fucking secretive.
Really?
Oh. And when I read Pachinko and I, you know, Noah's character, you gotta read that book. It's fucking amazing. Noah's character is so secretive, and I was reading it and I'm like, this guy is my dad.
Dang.
And he started a family, and like, he won't let me talk to his brother, so I don't know my uncle very well.
Wow.
I don't know their history. When my grandfather died, he asked my mom's mom to not invite anybody to his funeral.
What?
And so only like 4 people showed up. And my grandmother on my mom's side was like, it was the saddest funeral I've ever been to. Like, I don't know why he did that. Like, none of his coworkers came.
What the fuck?
It's fucking weird, right?
That's crazy.
So I'm like, why would you? Maybe I should take a DNA test. Anyways.
You should, yeah.
Maybe we can be fake last name
brothers.
Exactly,
there we go.
Yeah. I mean, safety zone? That's not a name.
Safety zone.
Why can't
that
it be
sounds like something like you're filling out the paper and it's like, so what's your name? My name is Microphone Lamp. Nailed it.
Microphone
Lamp.
Yeah. Okay, you can also find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod. And I'm also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Come to our live shows. The next Hack City stand-up comedy show will be March 18th. And if you can't make that one, April 15th, both Wednesdays. And we're also doing a live podcast recording show.
Live podcast show. It'll be real fun. It's going to be a love. And we do some fun podcast games, and we have special guests and stuff like that.
So if you haven't been, please come check us out. March 26th, 8 o'clock at Kanashi Market. Go to asian.asianpod.com for tickets.
And, you know, it's a couple months away, but just mark your calendars. We'll be coming out doing a live show.
June 3rd
in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
At Dynasty Typewriter. So we are still figuring that out.
We're on there.
Whoa.
Wait, we're on there twice. Are we doing it 2 times?
That'd be great.
We're doing it twice, it looks like.
What does it say?
Asian Not Asian Live.
I see.
I mean, okay. Listen.
I wanted to do 2 shows.
The website has fucked up. There are 2 dates. It's the 3rd. Don't buy tickets to the 4th. Because I'm not going to be there the 4th.
What if we could do the 4th?
Why would they...
We could do we could do stand up on the 4th.
I know. I was thinking we could do it at a different venue or something. But anyways, we'll figure it out.
Okay,
this is clearly a mistake.
But anyway, so Dynasty Typewriter June 3rd.
You can actually get tickets right now at dynastytypewriter.com and just find June 3rd and you see a picture of us on there.
Yay.
That's so nice. Ryosuke, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one. Thank you for blessing with your presence.
Yeah, it's a very lovely podcast.
Yeah.
And Anos, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.